Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little Alabama as they have a big matchup against LSU this weekend and some Seahawks as well. As Seattle surprised a lot of people, they're sitting in at 5-3, and they have the Arizona Cardinals this weekend out in the desert. And now joining us is a man that started Alabama, did win a league MVP with the Seattle Seahawks, and that is Sean Alexander. And tomorrow, the Sean Alexander semifinalist for Freshman Player of the Year is going to be announced. Sean, always great to hear your voice. How you been?
Brother, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. So we're coming up on the 26th anniversary of your 1996 freshman year, and everyone remembers that game against LSU when you had over 290 rushing yards and four touchdowns. All these years later, what's the memory still that lives in your mind from that game?
That night was so amazing. You know, I always remember Montoya Madden, the sophomore fourth-string running back, and me being the third-string running back. We're 19 years old playing video games the night before because there's no way in the world when 8-9 Bama LSU play each other that we're either getting on the field. And I remember the coach saying, "Alexander, you're in." And my first carry was a 17-yard touchdown run right before halftime. And Montoya's looking at me like, "I hate you." You mean we stayed up till 3 a.m. You know, we're playing video games, and you go out there and you score a touchdown, and everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, Sean's great." And I said, "You know what? I used to get in grooves like this, nights like this, and I'd just be killing. Man, you should have saw me when I was in Kentucky." We're laughing at halftime before Coach Stallings, who's the legendary coach that doesn't even before he walks in the thing to give us the talk, and we're laughing about this, like, "Oh, man, if I was out there, I'd be killing it." And then all of a sudden, the third quarter, they put me back in the game. And I thought, "Holy cow, this is really Bama LSU." And 291 yards later, it was just a night to remember, man. It was wonderful.
You have one 70-something yard touchdown in a game. That's impressive. You had two. Like, how the heck did you process that in the moment with all that you just said?
Yeah, it was happening so fast. They were both in the third quarter. You know what I mean? So I come back out, and that's like my sixth and tenth carry of the game, and it's just on. And so, you know, they were telling us how the whole week you got Booger McFarland, who was their All-American defensive tackle. You know what I mean? You got all these great linebackers you're going against. They're like, "Hey, cover the ball. If we get, you know, this is going to be those 2 inches in a cloud of dust." And I'm like, "Okay, here it is. Hey, just strap up and you're going to be banging." And I'm cutting back on a hole and I'm running down the sideline for 60 and 70 yard runs. It was crazy.
It's always wild to me with athletes, and you were supposed to have a big time NFL career and you did so, how unexpected success still occurs when you have so much greatness in your body, like this story that you're telling right now.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, we all play the game of being disrespected, you know. So here I am, you know, my closest friends, you know, there were no cell phones in the 90s for everybody, especially no black kids in the inner cities. And you know, so here you have my closest friends I would go on these trips with: Charles Woodson, Mr. Ohio; Randy Moss, Mr. West Virginia. "Hey, what game are you going to?" "Oh, yeah. Oh, how would you play this week?" "Oh, great. Okay, yeah, cool. Hey, maybe we'll see each other. Maybe we won't. Hey, maybe that'd be cool if we all went to the same school. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll." There was no cell phones. You didn't connect with anybody. And so when that year ends and I'm named a high school player of the year by this thing called ESPN that we didn't even really know what it was, you know what I mean? You know, like, it's a totally different game that the kids now have and the relationships that they have and what they think about themselves and their talents. I always felt like, man, I'm not getting the respect that I'm supposed to get. I mean, they're like, "You're from Kentucky. You weren't really that good," you know what I mean? And now they're like, "Oh, this person was 5-star. This person was great." So you play the game of, "I'm so disrespected, let me go prove you wrong." And that's what everybody does. And so it was just a lot easier to do it back in the day. So it was always a surprise to go out there and be great. Not surprised that you did it, but it was a surprise like, "Ha, here, I told you." You know what I mean? And so that was the game that people played mentally back in the day.
What was the difference in your decision on why you wanted to go to Alabama?
Man, you know, I wanted to play for a great school. So my top three was Alabama, Michigan, and Notre Dame. So those were three winningest programs at the time. I wanted to play for an iconic coach. And so Lou Holtz was at Notre Dame. And my older brother, Duran, he had an academic scholarship to Notre Dame. So Notre Dame had an edge. But I was the typical little brother. So I used to be the diehard Michigan fan. And I tell Desmond Howard all the time, you know, he almost had me go there as a middle school kid, just watching him play, you know. But when I went up to Michigan, it was the middle of a blizzard that they had. And I thought,
bad timing.
I don't do blizzards. I don't do blizzards, you know. And then Notre Dame, I loved Lou, but I just felt like he was about to leave. You know how sometimes you just get that feeling,
yeah,
like, oh, he's not going to be here, you know. And then I go down there, and Gene's like Lou. Bigger personality in life, runs the whole program. It's tough, but tough love, and he demands guys to be greater than they are. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't even know that Bama had all the national championships. I mean, that's how much I did not know about the school. But I knew that they understood what greatness looked like. And I was like, I want to be a part of that. And so yeah, it just fit me. And I loved seeing, you know, even back then, the best players from their states all coming there to go see if they were the best in the world or in the country at that time. And, you know, you've seen the best running back from Tennessee and the best running back from Alabama already there a couple years older than me. And I'm like, I can get those guys, you know, like, that's still the mantra of Alabama. They go get the best players and see what happens. And the practices were super intense and super competitive. And then the best man usually stands at the end. And so everybody's got to wait the turns, you know what I mean? So, you know, even my great freshman year, didn't start any games my freshman year. And all them yards, you know, and 7 or 8 touchdowns and no starts. You know, so that's just how it worked, you know?
So what you're telling me, Sean Alexander, if you visited Michigan in the big house, if it was like 75 and sunny that day, you would have been a Wolverine?
I'm telling you, if it was 75 and sunny, people would have saw starting quarterback Tom Brady, starting running back Sean Alexander, starting wide receiver Charles Woodson.
Wow. That's crazy. That's wild, because,
yeah,
and it just shows you, like, it just shows you what recruits are looking for when they go on a visit, and one bad weather day means Sean Alexander's out on being a Wolverine. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Fred Jackson was the running back coach, and he said, hey, Sean, can I just tell you something? I thought for sure you would tell us you're going to sign this week. I was like, I know. Kind of weird. I just think I'm going to think about it. He's like, don't you leave and not sign with us. So he's like, don't you go somewhere. He's like, where are you going next week? Alabama. I said, yeah, I didn't really give Alabama that much of a look, but I just feel like I should. I went down there and I loved it. Loved everything about it.
What a story. Sean Alexander here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So big game this weekend for Alabama up against LSU. LSU's getting hot this time of the year, and they're trending in the right direction. How concerned are you? I know you're going to the game. How concerned are you with Alabama? Because they haven't looked like the machine that has been Alabama of years past, and they still only have one loss on the year.
Yeah, you know, I'm not concerned because of LSU being so good or Alabama being so bad. I'm just not concerned because it's a bunch of still young men figuring themselves out and figuring out how to go be great. And so I just love the challenge for Alabama. You know, this game is always special. Alabama takes it very seriously. And this is one of those things that we like when teams are trending hot, because that's what we want to play against. We want to play against teams at their best. And then also, I just always remind people, we know Bama did not play their best games that third Saturday in October. We know they didn't play their best game. And yet we miss a 50-yard field goal, and then the other team hits their long field goal, and they beat us by 3, and the whole world is shook. We're like, wait, this is still football. Like, we could play them again, and we're not scared of that. You know what I mean?
You know, I shouldn't be surprised about it, Sean, but it really is incredible. Every time Alabama loses, and we went with this with the Patriots as well, it's, is this the end for Nick Saban? Is the Alabama dynasty over after one loss? It's crazy how it's talked about.
Yeah, one loss by 3 after we just missed a long field goal and they made a long field goal. Come on, what are we talking about here? Like, we're going to be okay, and we're going to play Bama football, and it's going to be in these great games that are classic. LSU, Auburn, SEC championship, that's just what we do. And so it's just going to be great to kind of add to the fabric of the Alabama tradition.
And Bryce Young looks like he's going to be a star in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a special player. He's got a special mind. I was talking with Trent Richardson and Bo Scarborough just yesterday, just about the history of Alabama and the running backs and how they have really upgraded the quarterbacks and what they allowed the quarterbacks to do over these last decade. The last four guys were just amazing, including Bryce. And so Bryce is just, he's special, man. He understands the game. He understands what he wants to do. The coaches try to put him in a position to use all of his gifts. And, I think, honestly, if he didn't get hurt and he beats Tennessee, he could be back-to-back Heisman. And so it's still out there. He's just going to have to be phenomenal, but he's a special talent.
And I'm also really happy for Jalen Hurts, too, who was at Alabama, got replaced by Tua, then had to help them out of that SEC title game when Tua got hurt, had some success as a Heisman finalist at Oklahoma. It's good to see Jalen Hurts. Really, like you said, continue to prove the doubters wrong with what he's doing with the Eagles.
Yeah, we're not surprised by Jalen. It's just competition, and that this is a part of Alabama's way. No one in their mind would be like, "Oh, Jalen's terrible." We're just like, it just happens that at the same time he's there, so is Tua. You know what I mean? And so like no one's gonna be like, "Mac Jones was terrible." No, it's just the same time that Mac was there, so was Jalen, and so was Tua. You know what I mean? So he only got to play 1 year, really. And so, like, that's just a part of the Alabama fabric. You got to be knit to be able to hang on and fight the scrap to get on the field, because we know greatness is in you when you get out there.
Well, I will tell you this, something you are surprised about. I know you just went into the Ring of Honor. Congratulations with the Seahawks.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
You would have never thought in a million years we'd be sitting here week 9 of the season and the Seahawks would be 5-3, right?
Oh, man. I'm really proud of Geno. Really proud of Geno. That is a surpriser. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy.
His story.
He's leading the league in completion percentage.
I know, man. It's wild. And then you see Kenneth Walker back there, dotting the I. He's playing great as a rookie. He's got a shot to win Rookie of the Year. Like, you look at all that together and the defensive players are just playing lights out, and we've had some guys get injured. The backup comes in, and he looks like he's going to be a superstar. You're like, what is going on out there? I'm just proud of the guys. Totally shocked. Now, that I am shocked with. No one would have thought that they'd be in first place and really in a great control of their future. It's pretty cool.
I love Kenneth Walker at Michigan State. He looks like he's going to be a stud with what he's done the last few weeks.
I do too, man. Like, he's always he keeps his shoulders square. He gets up and down the field. Like, he knows how to make the extra, I call it almost like the squeeze yards. You know what I mean? Like, you're almost tackled and you kind of twist the shoulder, put your hand down, and you get like 2 or 3 more yards. And he just consistently falls forward to be like, he's not like, Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? But he uses like his everything he's got, an explosion to gain the extra yard. And then when some guy misses, it's out the gate. It's pretty awesome to watch.
Here's the lesson for me when I look at the Seahawks. It just shows you the power of belief with the football team, Sean Alexander, because those guys saw their coach get dragged, and they believe in their coach. And now they're giving a lot of people the middle finger through the first half of the season.
100%. Laughing with a big belly. Because, at the end of the day, if your coach says, they think this is a rebounding year. There's no such thing as rebounding year in the NFL. Everybody's got a job. You're a pro. Go to work. And the Seattle guys have come in there and they have done more than what we expected. And at the same time, they have, coach for the Cardinals, Dennis? We are who they thought they were.
Yeah, Dennis Green. Right? I mean, let him off the hook.
Hey, he's like, hey, now the Seahawks fan, we are who you think we are. They're standing strong and they're telling coach, yeah, coach, you believe in us. We are who you think we are. And it's wonderful.
And Russell Wilson has been miserable with the Broncos. You think he regrets his decision? Because that Broncos situation looks like it's a disaster right now.
No, I don't think so. And I'm close with Russ, just like I am with Geno and the guys in here in Seattle now. I think that Seahawks and Russ were ready to go, because when you build something for a decade, you kind of know how it all rolls. You know what I mean? And if they're like, hey, how we all do this ain't going to really win us games. We need something fresh. That's called creative destruction, right, in the business room. You kind of break stuff up just to go make sure that you can create some success. And so that was a part of it for the Seahawks. And I think that for us, now it's kind of like going and playing with a new team without any really practice, any really training camp, any really OTAs. So he's figuring that out on the go. And how a person could say something. You could be like, hey, Sean, like, hey, you know, do the flips. Right. Well, when I'm with the Seahawks, that could be one thing. But when I was with Alabama, that could mean something else. Right. So now how you even catching lingo and people's reactions and stuff, they're all trying to figure that out. And they just have to figure it out with live bullets. They didn't have the time of OTAs and mini camps and training camps to go figure it out. So that's why it looks so terrible, because we're expecting a decade season with the same kind of cook and chefs to be out there with a fresh dish, a fresh coach, fresh receivers, you know, and this is still the NFL. It doesn't come off as smooth all the time. Now, you take a person like Geno, we never knew what it was going to happen. No one did. And so that's what the freshness would look like. It was fresh for everybody. Russell had to get out of his mind of, it needs to look like what I was doing in Seattle. You know what I mean? And I think as they all do that, they're going to be okay.
So you're going to hand out the fifth Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Year. The semifinalists are going to be announced tomorrow. Your previous winners, Trevor Lawrence, Kenneth Gainwell, Will Anderson Jr., and Brock Bowers. Tell me about the award a little bit.
Oh, man. So, you know, it all started actually with the Football Writers Association. One of the beat writers, Michael Griffin, who was in charge, he was a Football Writers Association president. He was, when I was a freshman, he was an Alabama beat writer. He's went on to Georgia, Michigan, Michigan State. And so he called me up and said, hey, would you help me? This must have been like 7 years ago. Hey, would you help me pick out the freshman team? You know, love to be about football. You know, I was definitely retired. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I'd get back to the game, you know. So we're watching teams and talking, many great conversations. And then we picked out the All-American team, and it was a lot of fun. And then the next year, he says, we're thinking about naming the award after somebody that would just be a great name. And he said, you know, and Mike's a white man, but he was like, I would love to be an African-American that could really carry on the football legacy, to be like a great guy that had great talent and we knew it. And so I said, yeah, let me think about who that could be. And he was like, Sean, it's you. And I was like, what?
That's
so awesome. Super honored, super, super inspired. And that next year, we kind of wrote out a couple of things, and we wrote out these four words: talent. The talent had to jump off the screen. Like, you watch me, you're like, that guy's amazing. We call the word legend. So in the NFL, if you're a legend, that means that you played in the games, you were a good enough player. And so we said, does this person have the possibility to be a legend? In other words, they look like they could be a pro one day. So that's the second word. The third word is character. You know what I mean? Like, so me being so young, we always say, like, gosh, you know, we can't have a guy that's just a turd, because I'm still in the 40s. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still young enough where if they do bad, my name's going to be mentioned with it everywhere. So we had to have a guy that has some character. And the last word is the word ambassador. An ambassador just means somebody that speaks on behalf of. And so is this kid an ambassador for the university? Can we go up to the school and say, hey, would you let this young man speak on behalf of Clemson, Trevor Lawrence? Yes. You know, Memphis, Kenneth Gainwell, yes. Alabama, Will Anderson, yes. Georgia, Brock Bowers, yes. So we found four guys that fit those categories. Their talent's amazing. They look like they'd be pro guys. We know two of them are already there. They have great character, and at the same time, they are ambassadors for their universities. And that's how we picked out the guys, and it's that we feel like we've been 4 for 4, and we've got a great list of 14, Fab 14, that's what I call the semifinalists. We've got 14 great freshmen that have potential to win this award for the fifth.
Well, awesome stuff. Always appreciate the time. We always have a blast when you join us. Thanks so much for coming on and giving us some time today again.
No doubt, brother. Thank you.
There he is, Sean Alexander, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You could think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So the World Series right now, we are in the bottom of the fourth. Bryce Harper is coming up, one out, nobody on. It is a scoreless game. I think this feels as if maybe, and it's so early, but whoever gets the first run in this game is going to win. You look back at the first three games of this series, there was a lot of scoring early. In game one, it was 5-0 after three innings. In game two, 5-0 after five innings. In game three, I'm reading a Bob Nightingale tweet on this right now where he pointed this out. Now, hopefully all this is accurate. In game three, it was 4-0 after two innings. Now it's 0-0, and we're in the bottom of the fourth inning with Bryce Harper up. Hickey, this feels as if this is going to be, and hey, could somebody hit a home run, a solo shot, the next inning you hit a two-run blast, and it's 2-1, and that'd be the final score? Sure. I got a feeling on this one, whoever strikes first is going to win win game number four here tonight.
Look, I mean, obviously, if it's the Phillies, that, you know, that place is ready to explode. They haven't had a hit yet, so they've really had nothing to cheer about so far. And that's the thing, like the Astros, like, they're getting runners on. They've had runners on second. They've had runners on third with one out, have not converted so far. They start to pile up. Like I said, you start to press quicker, and it does kind of almost snowball in effect.
Are you upset with the microphone there?
I just really want to see the Astros win. I cannot see the Phillies win. I cannot. So I'm trying to will this team into getting a run across the board. If I would bet, I would do it.
Well, you know what you need to do? Hey, it's pretty obvious what you need to do. You've tweeted a lot of things in a very cocky and arrogant way, like even this series. You said that the Astros are going to win this series in five games. Maybe you fire off a tweet right now. Phillies are winning this game.
No, I can't. That's just fake. The reverse mush, the fake mush,
but no one knows it would be a fake
intentional mush. It doesn't work. I know it. No. The mush gods know. They don't need to, like, oh wow, Ryan maybe thinks the Phillies are, like, they know my true intentions when I tweet something, and if it's truly heartfelt or if it's just like, oh, I'm going to try to trick them and to see if I can get the Astros to win here. So I'm going to say Phillies in six.
So the pitching matchup tomorrow, by the way, as this could be a World Series potential clinching game for the Phillies tomorrow, would be Noah Syndergaard starting for the Phillies going up against Justin Verlander. That is the expected pitching matchup tomorrow, which the whole Verlander thing, what did you make of that with him flipping off the Phillies fans? I thought it was all in good fun. And that's what he kind of made it seem out to be as well. I did find that very funny. You don't usually see a player flipping off fans, but it seemed as if that was all in good fun with
the Phillies fans going crazy, going nuts, as they always do. And then Verlander kind of giving it right back. I like that interaction.
My bigger issue is that he is stunk in the World Series.
In the World Series, it's crazy how a pitcher can be that great historically. And in the World Series, that dude had a 5-0 lead in game one and was brutal.
I love it if you were pitching well.
If you're flipping off.
5-0 lead, you can't be flipping off the opposing fans.
Whether it was all in good fun or not, and he said, oh, I was just giving him back their like native tongue or whatever he said. If you don't pitch well tomorrow, you're going to get clowned for that. It doesn't matter if that was in our sarcastic way. Because you look at Verlander. The last 2 years, he wasn't playing because of the injuries. And Verlander's been better than what anyone could have thought this year. The guy's going to win the Cy Young. He's got to step up and deliver tomorrow night, and we'll see if that's going to be the case. So this game now going to the top of the five, scoreless. Philadelphia does not have a hit. Astros have 4 hits, but they have not been able to get anyone across the plate, so it is 0-0. There have been 6 teams this year, Ryan, that their entire wide receiving units have fewer yards than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has 961 yards through the first 8 games of the season. Do you think you can name the 6 other teams that have fewer wide receiving yards as an entire unit compared to one player in Tyreek Hill? And I'll tell you this, 4 of these teams happen to be good teams, which is wild because if you had fewer wide receiving yards than Tyreek Hill's entire unit and how pass-heavy this league is, you would not think you would have a good record. But I would say that 4 out of the 6 here have good records.
Okay, let's start again, I guess, with the bad team. I'm going to say there has to be one, the Bears.
The Bears are there.
Okay.
At 784.
Bears in. I will go with...
You want to get one more bad team out of the way. The rest are considered good teams, at least 500 or above after that.
I have a good team in mind right now, so before I forget it, I will go the Titans.
You are correct. They actually have the fewest. 658.
Yeah, their receivers.
You may need A.J. Brown back. I'm just going to... That was not a smart trade. Said at the time of the draft, and it's looking that way even more now. So you have the Bears, and you have the Titans. 784 for the Bears, and for the Titans, 658.
Good team. Bad team.
Three more teams you could consider good. 2 really good, 1 good enough. And then 1 just team that's dreadful.
Panthers.
No.
Hmm.
Got DJ Moore.
Yeah, but they have no one else. Also have no quarterback. That's how a big Mayfield's thrown for.
Whoa.
Well, PJ Walker excluded.
Did you see the man?
The first 5 games.
The quarterback that was formerly known as Philip PJ Walker. He changed. He wanted to be called Philip 1 year, then PJ, then Philip, then PJ. It's been all over the place.
I think he was on the Colts' backup. It was PJ. I think it was, and then he flipped, stip-snapped a few more times since then.
Yeah, there was a joke when we were in college when he went back to Philip. Maybe he should start going back to PJ because he wasn't playing that great when he was Philip. And then when he goes, oh yeah, he called me PJ again. He started winning games again.
Bad team. I'll go.
The bad one should be obvious.
Texans.
Yes, 853.
Okay.
So you have the Titans, you have the Bears, and you have the Texans. You got 3 more teams that have fewer receiving yards with their entire receiving units than Tyreek Hill this year.
I will go with the Giants.
Winner.
Bang.
875. So you're looking for 2 more here. 1 I think should be obvious. If we're narrowing it down to the good teams, 1 is obvious.
49ers.
Wrong.
Obvious. The Ravens?
Mm-hmm. That's the obvious one. 790 receiving yards. Now, this team has 943 receiving yards. I said they were good. That could have a loose interpretation. They have a respectable record.
Are they above 500? Are they at 500 or better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not the Packers. Above 500, no.
Who are you thinking?
It's not the Broncos.
I said a 500 or better. The Broncos are 3-5.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they were 4-4.
I know that you tried to speak it into existence that the Broncos are going to be the greatest team of all time. They have not been if you've been watching football through the first 8 weeks of the season. Not that I want to make this go on for any much longer because you're really...
Okay, I got it. Yeah. New England Patriots.
No. Not, no. No
really?
No.
They haven't thrown for a lot of yards. I guess Bailey Zappi and they do throw it. Who's the team?
The Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, 943 receiving yards.
Should have known. They're like undefeated when Marcus Mariota throws the ball five times a game.
Yeah, as I said, being a good team in that division, it's a loose interpretation, but they do have a 4-4 record. How about that? Six teams have fewer wide receiving yards as an entire unit than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill at 961, which is a ridiculous pace this early on in the season. Falcons, 943. Giants, 875. Texans, 853. Ravens 790, Bears 784, and the Titans in at 658. Crazy, crazy stuff. Marco Belletti is here. Marco, it's kind of funny when you get to this Dan Snyder stuff because it comes out today from Forbes that they hired Bank of America to explore him potentially selling the team. You see that at first. It's like, oh, wow, this is finally going to happen. Then it's, oh, it could be for... the minority stakes or the minority shares of the team. It's like, oh, that stinks. And then you see the statement from the Commanders, which was, yeah, we did hire Bank of America and we're going to explore selling the team potentially. And that's still a loose interpretation. You don't know if is it the entire team or some of the team, which is pretty big because if it's some of the team, first of all, I don't know why you want to get in business with Dan Snyder, but he still has all the power. He still has all the control. It really does nothing for me personally. When I saw the statement from the Commanders, I go, wait a second. The fact that they're at least entertaining this gave me optimism because a few weeks ago, we're not selling the team. We have no interest in selling the team. If it was only for minority shares, I think they would have made that clear today. They didn't. And then the great shoe does drop, the other shoe does drop, that the feds are now investigating the Commanders' finances.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder may be a jackass. Dan Snyder may be someone that I despise, and I hope for Commanders fans he finally sells the team. But the guy, in a weird way, even though he does a lot of stupid things, he's not a dummy. And you were just waiting for that other piece of information, and once the feds are now investigating him, this seems as if this is the start of Dan Snyder slowly waving the white flag where he'll go sell the team for $5, $6 billion. No one's going to play the small violin, but at least he'll be out of our lives from a football standpoint, so that's a win for us. So I'm happy for Commanders fans, but this does seem as if this is Dan Snyder saying, okay, let me get out of the public spotlight. Let me get out of all this, and then maybe I'll get off a little bit easier.
I think the writing's been on the wall for a while now, and
Jim came out, Jim Irsay, a few weeks ago, that was me actually thinking for the first time this could happen.
Yeah, and I think it was a little bit before that if you were reading the tea leaves. Like, we could see it. We could see it, and we knew that. I'll even go back to, as crazy as it is, I'll go back to the name change. That was something that Daniel Snyder did not want to do, and he was so hell-bent to not change the name. That was kind of like the last, for him, the last-ditch effort to try to hold on to the club, in my mind, and it wasn't going to fly. He knew he was in trouble then. Because he would have never done this if he wasn't in trouble. Dan Snyder is not the kind of guy that does anything that he doesn't want to do unless he has to. He made that name change because he thought maybe he can get everybody off my back. He could read it. He could see it coming. Now it's a question of when. Hopefully, I think for all of us,
sooner
it doesn't drag
later.
Out too long and we get to the point where it's on sale, they go up, and somebody else comes to the rescue.
Now you're telling me Daniel Snyder, though, isn't going to scratch and claw and kick and scream until the end?
Yes and no.
Now when the feds are involved a little bit.
Yes and no. And that's part of the thing. That was the whole thing with, like, you know, hiring the outside company, digging up dirt. It's still getting to the point where it's like, look, Dan, you want to release the dirt? Buddy, you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
So, like, that's well, basically what it's going to come down to.
I don't think his dirt is going to be damaging enough, and I said this from the start, where everyone's just going to say, oh, wow, I totally see his side. I think it would be he would have some things that maybe would be a story for 24, 48 hours, but if it's not damaging enough, it's not going to remove the hatred that we all have for Dan Snyder to just get him out of our lives, and he comes off as major crazy uncle vibes as a bar, at a barbecue, where everyone has that uncle that just runs his mouth, and you're sitting there and you're like, yeah. And then the moment he takes a breath, it's, okay, let me go crack a beer open somewhere else. It's let him say what he wants to say. Just get him out of our life, and hopefully this is the end of it.
Yeah, but I don't think any of that dirt was to save him. It was to go scorched earth.
Yes.
I'm out, and I'm taking you all down with me.
But I don't think he has enough.
I don't know if he would have enough or not, and unfortunately, to be honest, look at the world we live in. What would be enough?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're getting to the point where everything is just kind of like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, and that's where we're at. So it's kind of hard for me to believe that he's got something that even that he can dig up that, I mean, what, maybe he takes down one more owner with him?
Mm-hmm.
It really, unfortunately, is not going to cause
nothing could take down the
ripple
NFL
effect that he was looking for. And if he's got enough dirt on him, it's the idea of like, look, let it be. Walk away quietly with all your money so we don't put you in jail. It's almost like the wealthy man's agreement,
yeah,
the handshake agreement. You don't go to jail. Don't put this guy into the light. Oh, okay, great.
But
and everybody walks away.
If Dan Snyder, and this is his arrogance, thinks he has dirt on other owners. Now, we know a lot of the dirt of Dan Snyder. How much do we not know about Dan Snyder that other owners have that they could throw that back in his face, but they want him out of the league anyway?
Fair, but I don't think that matters. That's not – you're going down, you're going down.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. And his legacy, his reputation, whatever you want to call it, it's tarnished as it is. So I don't think that's his concern. It could be the idea of, though, like jail is a major concern.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're talking about something like that, we're like, look, they can go all in and actually put you behind bars for even 6 months. Daniel Snyder's not going to spend 6 hours – 6 minutes.
Yeah, 6 seconds.
So he'll find a way to get out of it, and that's shut your mouth, take your money, and walk away.
We could get some runs here. Nolan, a little bit of trouble. Top five, bases loaded, no outs, and they may be pulling Nola as Rob Thompson is going out to the mound right now. We'll keep you up to date on the World Series in the next 20 minutes that we have with you. We'll get to the closing bell next.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So one of the Phillies' big pitchers, Aaron Nola, I consider Zach Wheeler really the ace of that team, but for so many years, Aaron Nola was considered the ace, and then Wheeler comes in there and he just pitched better than Nola. Nola was getting into some trouble, but was working out of it. Then in this top of the fifth, in a scoreless game, the Phillies, by the way, are getting no hit, but in a scoreless game in the top of the fifth, the Astros loaded the bases. Then they pulled Nola. Alvarado comes in. First pitch, he hit Yordan Alvarez with the bases loaded. Bregman then up. He hits a double down the right field line fair. Gets two runs in. And Kyle Tucker just hit a sack fly. And now it is 4-0 Astros over the Phillies with a man on third. And Gurriel up with one out. So top of the five, a must-win situation for the Astros, and they finally get some runs across the plate in a big way, four of them, and maybe more coming in this top of the fifth inning. It's expected that tomorrow it would be Noah Syndergaard going up against Justin Verlander, which is a very, very, very entertaining pitching matchup because Syndergaard used to be great, and now he's getting a chance to start once again in the World Series, where you remember he was a pitcher for the Mets up against the Royals in the World Series, but his career has kind of really gone the other way. And Justin Verlander had this redemption season after being hurt the last 2 years, but his Achilles heel and his kryptonite has been pitching in the World Series. So tomorrow, if this game does end up being an Astros win, as they just got another single Gurriel, and that's now going to be 5-0, if the Astros do hold on and win this game, which it had a 5-0 lead before in this series, and they blew it in game one, it makes it a very intriguing game number five where you really have no clue what's going to happen because of just you would expect that Verlander would get the job done, but he's been so bad in the World Series that's not a foregone conclusion. So still a lot of baseball left in this one, but it is 5-0 Astros having a monster 5-run fifth inning right now. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I know that it was announced that Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets will each donate $500,000 towards causes and organizations that work to eradicate hate and intolerance in our communities. That's what they announced in a joint statement with the Anti-Defamation League on Wednesday today, according to ESPN. But let's be real. Joe's side to this entire incident showed zero balls. Same for Adam Silver. They were nowhere to be found other than one little tweet by Joe's side with Kyrie Irving. And the only people that really had some cojones and did talk up in the NBA circles were Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, and Reggie Miller. What they said last night was spot on, and they went after the players for not saying anything. They went after Adam Silver for not saying anything. And then also Joe Tsai for having no accountability in his organization. So shame on Joe Tsai, shame on Adam Silver, but give a stock up to Shaq, to Charles Barkley, and Reggie Miller for doing the right thing. Commanders fans, there's going to be light. You could see the light at the end of the tunnel is the way to say it. Dan Snyder, it appears, may be out of the league sooner rather than later. Yeah, he's going to get his $5, $6 billion. We all know that. But the fact that you may get rid of the stench of Dan Snyder in the NFL is a good thing. And it's on the table, and it's looking like more and more of a possibility day by day, especially when he hires Bank of America to explore a potential sale of the Commanders. And now he's being investigated by the Fed. So give a stock up to the fans of the Commanders that have been tortured for years and years and years by the incompetence and the buffoonery and the jackassery by one Dan Snyder. Rhys Hoskins' wife, yesterday, she bought fans 50 beers at a baseball game. Today, 100 beers for Game 4 of the World Series. Nice gesture. Stock up to Rhys Hoskins' wife. And finally, Zach Moss. Now, he went to the Colts. Don't get me wrong. I like the Colts are the worst team in the league. But you were on the Buffalo Bills. At worst case scenario, probably going to an AFC title game this year, most likely the Super Bowl, and most likely hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. And you get traded to the Colts, a team that's not going to make the playoffs, a team that is basically trying to lose games by starting Sam Ehlinger, even though Matt Ryan wasn't all that. But you go from the penthouse to like a porter potty right now. And that's fair. The Colts are kind of like a porter potty right now. Gets the job done, but it's gross, dirty, disgusting, and smelly. That's how you would compare the Indianapolis Colts? That'd be your analogy there, Hot Take Iggy?
It's not great, but I mean, I think it's clean at least. It smells good. It's just, you know, hey, there are a lot better places you could relieve yourself.
Yeah, that stinks. At least you have St. Elmo's, though, for Zach Moss. But other than that, stock down. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I would like to thank Giants General Manager Joe Shane for joining us today. Also, Aaron Murray and Sean Alexander, the former NFL MVP. We'll be back tomorrow for a big Zach Gelb Show on a Thursday. Can't believe it's already going to be Thursday this week. Okay, then after Thursday becomes Friday. We will recap Game 4 of the World Series. Astros lead 5-0, top 5, 2 outs, 1 man on with Diaz at the plate. And we will also have a Thursday night football game, Texans and Eagles. And we'll go around the National Football League and college football as we inch closer and closer to another weekend of college and the NFL. Hot Take Hickey, big thanks to you, each and every one of you, for listening and tweeting. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.